Fareed parked the Land Cruiser in the driveway of a big house. I guess I wait here for you. Don't worry, I'll be back, I said, not at all sure that I would be. Armed men frisked me and then led me upstairs to a room with twin green sofas and a big screen TV. The older of the men motioned to the sofa with the barrel of his weapon. Then they left. I knew what I'd managed to get myself into was insanity. I was in a holding cell waiting for a man I'd already seen murder two people that day. The door opened, and the armed men returned with a tall Talib in white, still wearing his dark John Lennon glasses. He took a seat across from me, and for a long time just sat, watching me, one hand drumming the upholstery. I saw a splotch of dry blood on his left sleeve. Periodically, his free hand floated up, and his thick fingers battered at something in the air. As his sleeve retracted, I saw marks on his forearm. I'd seen those tracks on homeless people in grimy alleys in San Francisco. Finally, he said,
"You can do away with that now, you know?"
He motioned to one of his men, and suddenly my cheeks were stinging as the guard tossed my false beard up and down in his hand. The Talib smiled. "One of the better ones I have seen. So, inshallah, you enjoyed the show today? Public justice is the greatest kind of show. Drama, suspense, and the best of all, education en masse. You should have been with me in Mazar-e-Sharif."
"Sorry," I said. Door to door we went, calling for the men and the boys. We'd shoot them right there in front of their families. Let them see. Let them remember where they belong. You don't know the meaning of the word liberating until you've done that. Let the bullets fly, free of guilt and remorse, knowing you are doing God's work. It's breathtaking." I felt sick.
"I'm looking for a boy."
"Isn't everyone?"
"I understand he's here with you. His name is Sohrab."
"Answer me something. Why aren't you here with your Muslim brothers, serving your country? There are those who believe that abandoning your homeland when it needs you most is treason. I could have you shot.
Does that frighten you?"
"I'm only here for the boy."
"Does that frighten you?"
"Yes."
He leaned back on the sofa. I thought about Soraya. It calmed me. I remembered our wedding day, the two of us dancing to an old Afghan song, everyone clapping. The Talib was saying something.
"Would you like to see my boy?"
"Yes." The guard left the room. I heard him say something in Pashto. Then footfalls and the jingle of bells with each step. The door opened, and the guard walked in carrying a stereo on his shoulder. Behind him, a boy dressed in a loose sapphire blue Perhan Tamban. He had his father's round face, the face of my childhood. His head was shaved, his eyes darkened with mascara, and his cheeks glowed with an unnatural red. His eyes fell on me. Then he looked down at his naked feet. One of the guards pressed a button, and Pashto music filled the room. The men began to clap. Sohrab raised his arms and stood on his tiptoes. He spun gracefully, dipped to his knees, straightened, and spun again. His little hands swiveled at the wrist, his fingers snapped, and his head swung side to side like a pendulum. When the music stopped, the Talib called,
"Bia, bia, my boy."
Sohrab went to him, head down, stood between his thighs. The Talib wrapped his arms round the boy, slid his hand down the child's back. One of the guards elbowed the other and sniggered. The Talib told them to leave us alone. Sohrab kept stealing furtive glances at me.
"I've been wondering," the Talib said, Whatever happened to old Babalu, anyway?
The question hit me like a hammer. The childhood taunt I'd heard thrown so often at Hassan's father. My legs went cold. The Talib laughed.
What did you think? That you'd put on a fake beard and I wouldn't recognize you? I never forget a face. Not ever.
He took off his sunglasses and locked his bloodshot blue eyes on mine.
Asif. Amirjan. But what are you doing here? I asked foolishly.
Asif arched an eyebrow.
Me? I'm in my element.
What? Stoning adulterers, raping children, massacring Hazaras, all in the name of Islam? The words spilled suddenly and unexpectedly. A look of surprise crossed Asif's face.
I see, this may turn out to be enjoyable after all.
All I want is the boy, I said.
Very well.
Take him. He shoved Sohrab towards me. I took the small, calloused hand. His fingers laced themselves with mine. Then Asif said,
Of course. You'll have to earn him. We have some unfinished business, you and I, remember?
My entire adult life, whenever I pictured Hassan, it was with his slingshot pointed at Asif's face. Hassan saying they'd have to start calling him One-Eyed Asif. I remembered how Asif had backed down. How he'd promised to get us. He had kept that promise with Hassan. Now it was my turn. Asif called the guards.
In a moment I'm going to close the door, and he and I are going to finish an old bit of business. When it's done, only one of us will walk out of this room alive. If it's him, he's earned his freedom, and you let him pass.
The older guard shifted on his feet.
If it's him, you let him pass, screamed Asif.
The men nodded. One reached out for Sohrab.
Leave him.
Let him watch, Asif grinned. Lessons are good for boys. As the guards left, Asif reached into the pocket of his jacket. What he fished out didn't surprise me one bit. Brass knuckles. I don't know if I gave Asif a good fight. I don't think I did. How could I? It was the first time I'd fought anyone. My memory of the fight is amazingly vivid in stretches. Asif's bloodshot eyes, the sound of my ribs snapping like tree branches, and the end, of course. I don't know at what point I started laughing, but I did. It hurt my jaws, my ribs, and the harder I laughed, the harder Asif fought.
What is so funny?
He bellowed with each blow. What was so funny was that for the first time since the winter of 1975, I felt at peace. My body was broken. Just how badly, I wouldn't find out till later. But I felt healed. I was on the ground, with Asif straddling my chest. His face a mask of lunacy. When,
Bas!
A thin voice.
Please, no more!
I remember the orphanage director saying, He is inseparable from that thing. He tucks it in the waist of his trouser everywhere he goes. Twin trails of black mascara mixed with tears had rolled down his cheeks. His lower lip trembled. His hand was cocked above his shoulder holding the cup of the slingshot. The elastic band was pulled taut. There was a brass ball in the cup.
Put it down, Hazara!
Asif hissed. Sohrab shook his head.
No more, Aha, please. Don't hurt him anymore.
Asif let go of my throat and lunged at Sohrab. The slingshot made a thwack and Asif was screaming. He put his hand where his left eye had been. Blood oozed between his fingers. Sohrab grabbed my hand, helped me to my feet. Every inch of my battered body wailed with pain. I remembered being outside. Farid running towards us. Then I was looking up at the roof of the Land Cruiser. A tiny hand on my forehead. Faces. poked through the haze. They're all wearing green hats. Do I know who I am? Do I hurt anywhere? Days later, I understood. I was in a hospital in Peshawar. The doctor listed the damage. Ruptured spleen, broken ribs, punctured lung, busted eye socket, broken jaw. Farid and Sohrab came to visit.
Do you know who we are today?
Farid asked. Thank you, I said through jaws wired shut. He waved a hand, blushed a little. I turned to Sohrab. We were never properly introduced. I'm Amir. He looked at my hand, but he didn't take it.
You are the Amir father told me about.
Yes, I owe you thanks too, Sohrab. You saved my life. He didn't reply.
What exactly happened between you and the Talib? Farid asked.
Let's just say we both got what we deserved. He nodded, didn't push it. It occurred to me that somewhere along the way, we'd become friends.
You know, the sooner we get away from here, the better. I don't mean the hospital. I mean Peshawar. The Taliban have friends. They will start looking for you.
Whilst Farid went to make arrangements, I asked Sohrab if he'd like a game of cards. I stole looks at him as he pondered his hand. He was his father in so many ways.
What did your father tell you about us?
That you were the best friend he ever had. I flipped a card in my fingers. I wasn't such a good friend, I'm afraid. But I think I could be a good friend to you. Would that be all right? I put my hand on his arm gingerly, but he flinched and pushed away his stool. Standing by the window, he pressed his forehead to the glass, fists buried in his armpits. When Farid returned, it was with the news that Rahim Khan had gone and that no one had heard of the American couple he suggested to look after Sohrab. They weren't even listed at the American consulate. There was nothing for it. Sohrab would have to come with us. I discharged myself from the hospital the next morning and slept through the entire 4-hour ride to Islamabad. Farid booked us into a small hotel. Sohrab sat on one of the beds and drew his knees to his chest while I went back into the street to say goodbye to Farid. When I returned to the room, Sohrab was lying on the bed, his eyes closed. I couldn't tell if he was asleep. I sat on my bed and grimaced with pain. I swallowed some painkillers and wondered how long it would be before I'd be able to eat solid food. And I wondered what I'd do with the wounded little boy lying on the bed. Though a part of me already knew.